As most of us here are probably aware, we've been in the book of Romans for the last little while. And this is a very important text that we have been studying that has formed much of our understanding in our Christian faith of universal sin, God's righteousness, Jesus' atoning sacrifice on the cross, and salvation by grace alone through faith in Jesus alone. It's very good, obviously, that this passage or this book has helped us in understanding our Christian theology as it shapes our Christian life, which is living in the newness of life in Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But today we have something really unique in that for all of our Christian theology, this is one of those rubber hits the road moment. It's good to have all this awesome theology. What about real life stuff? And so myself and Lydia have been talking about this for a while, and we wanted to share the reality of our context in Canada now. And one of these situations is, but our cultural trend is a need to pass on our faith in Jesus to our children and children's children. And so we've entitled this theme today, this message today, Reaching the Next Generation of Prodigals. The term prodigal obviously comes from the parable of the prodigal son. Parables or parabole are basically short stories. They're illustrations that are used to explain a particular point of a conversation. And in this passage, in Luke chapter 15, which actually forms one of three parables. There's the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and then the parable of the lost son, which is also sometimes entitled the parable of the prodigal son. And essentially these parables are told by Jesus to illustrate why he spends time with tax collectors and sinners. Because if you read back at Luke chapter 15, in the first couple of verses, he's challenged by the spiritual leaders and the Pharisees as to why, as a distinguished rabbi, he's hanging out with the worst of the worst. In short, because God seeks to redeem creation, these verses reveal that God will go to extreme lengths to do so. Furthermore, when the lost are found or returned, heaven, which is another word that's used in place of God, rejoices in verse 10. The joy is represented in the parable of the prodigal or lost son when the father is overjoyed when he sees his son from a long way. That he ran, embraced, and kissed him was shameful to the ears of the scribes or the teachers of the law and Pharisees, especially what the young son had done, as it was read at the very first section of the letter or the parable. Essentially, this young son demanded his inheritance, thus wishing his father was dead, and then squandering it all, which is what the term actually prodigal actually means, wasteful and reckless living. So serving as one of his father's servants would have been too good for him. The best thing for the father was to cut him off for bringing shame to his family, as what the elder brother was expecting his father to do. The point of the parable is that God's love is extravagant and undeserved for creation. He has made a way while humanity continues to reject and rebel against him. God is patient and celebrates those who return to him. The parable is not just about the prodigal son. It's actually about the extravagant love of the father. Whether we have wandered far from God or stayed close with a hardened heart, he invites us to experience his mercy. And so today we ask ourselves, are we like the prodigal younger son needing to return? or the elder son needing a softened heart for prodigals. Either way, the father stands with open arms ready to welcome us home. I think this parable still holds our imagination because it's such a vivid picture of God's love and forgiveness. Moreover, perhaps like the father, we know the pain of children who have walked away or turned away from their spiritual inheritance. A recent survey reported in the Lausanne State of the Great Commission states, while 51% of teens, now this is a U.S. report, identified as Christians, only 8% were committed. Furthermore, it is no secret that in Canada, we have seen a rise in the nuns and the duns. Nuns being those who have no affiliation with any religion, and duns being those who no longer participate in congregational life, but have not given up on their faith. I believe we have a shared view that regardless of whether we have nuns or duns in our families, we were all at one point calling upon our Lord, our Jesus as Savior, as prodigals of God the Father. I certainly was a lost son until someone led me to know Jesus. So this afternoon we're going to be having Lydia share with us through our lunch and then some advice on how we can reach the prodigals in our families, communities, and society. As we seek to reach prodigals, let us be reminded it's not about ensuring that our loved ones will be in eternity with us. I mean, that's a wonderful secondary benefit. But it's really about helping the lost in our families and our societies to have a relationship with their Father in heaven first. So at this time, I'd like to invite Lydia to come forward, and she's going to share her story of her prodigal journey with us.